inhabits him, but has ease in expressing heaven to earth. No wonder so many call him the most revered of communicators. And he is a spiritual leader, but much more than that. He presides over a church of more than 30,000 people. His online broadcasts on Sunday reach over 70,000 real time. When you look at the numbers that aggregate around the voice God has given him, it runs into the millions upon millions of millions. Interestingly, perhaps his biggest adherence online is in our country. He is indigenous to Nigeria. His genetics are 98% Nigerian. No wonder he's counselor to kings, priests to presidents, pastor to prisoners, once called the bishop of the battered, teacher to the tattered. Oprah Winfrey calls him America's best preacher, and I concur. Time magazine many years ago says that not only is he a master communicator of all ages, but America's best preacher. It was Oprah who said America's treasure. He has been instrumental in growing the space for powerful faith-based content in the media and entertainment industries, including film, television, radio, publishing, podcasts, a self-titled talk show, and an award-winning music label. He has books and books and books, many of which have been New York Times bestsellers, including Crushing Instinct, Don't Drop the Mic, which I'm reading presently, and his latest book, Disruptive Thinking. I think you should read them. Devoted husband of more than 35 years to Lady Sarita Jakes, and together they have successfully raised 5 amazing children, including Jamar and Jermaine Jakes, Cora Jakes, and our speaker earlier on in the conference, Sarah Jakes, and his youngest son and namesake, Dexter Jakes. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in the chambers of his thought processes as this incredible communicator gives content that is veritably the word of the living God. Would you welcome, as family and parent, in a grand sense of this great house, His Grace, the Bishop Thomas Dexter Jakes, as he comes with the word of God.
Come on, put those hands together and give the Lord some praise and glory. Hallelujah. You can do better than that. I've heard you do better than that. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Before you sit down, hug somebody and tell them I'm so glad you're here today. You may be seated in His presence. What a joy and a delight to be here. I listen at Pastor Paul, who is so eloquent and astute at using linguistics to articulate the profundity of his thoughts. But I thought to myself, sometimes the commercial is better than the movie. So I don't want to put myself up under the stress to live up to all of that. But we have been having a time here in Lagos. And we've been having a time in Lagos here. We've been lifting up the name of the Lord, and the Lord has been glorified. Yeah. God is good. God is good. Say amen, somebody. It would be remiss of me not to take this opportunity to acknowledge the extreme hospitality that has been bestowed upon all of us. I'm going to ask all of my friends to stand with me as we thank the House on the Rock, Pastor Paulette Affairs, and Lady Fine for all of your kindness. The only thing that confuses me is when you treat people that good, you have trouble getting them to go home. If you want me to go home quicker, you have to change being so nice. My dear friend, Apostle Elijah, what a joy to see you again in the service of the Lord. Would you give God a praise for her? And let's celebrate her once again. Amen. And to all of the dignitaries and the elders and apostles and prophets and preachers and teachers in your respective places, it is in the name that is exalted above every name that I greet you and honor you and recognize you and appreciate you. Most of all, I'm grateful for the presence of God that is in this place today, both to do and to will according to his own good pleasure. Oh, and happy Independence Day, Nigeria. Make some noise. I was wondering how you celebrate your Independence Day. At home, we just eat a whole lot of food and fall asleep. So don't fall asleep before I finish today. But God is so good to us. Ironically, I think my message aligns very much with this moment in history, and indulge me in my folly as I stumble along the thoughts, the ideas of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. When you have it, please stand for the reading of the word. I have to go back to Dallas because if I stay in Lagos any longer, I won't be able to wear any of my clothes. They have fed me everything in the entire country. Amen. We had like a 6-hour dinner. They kept bringing food and more food and a first course and a second course and a third course and a fourth course. And a fifth course. I like to pass out eating food in this place. They've converted me. I've been eating oxtails and sweating. Yeah, I've been eating pepper soup. Yeah. I'm learning some stuff, man. I've been eating jollof rice and fufu and all of that kind of stuff like that. What am I going to do when I get back home? We don't know how to cook none of that stuff. Now I got to come back all the way over here just to have dinner and get something to eat. Give yourselves a round of applause for your kindness and your goodness toward me. Wow. What an amazing testimony you have built to the glory of God, that so many people could tabernacle in this place and experience God's glory in such a fresh way. It's amazing to me because you think you're in the house on the rock, you think you're in Lagos, you're really sitting in an idea. You're sitting in a thought born in a man's mind. And it is so clear for me, you've gotten used to it, but it's so clear for me because when I came out here, there was nothing but sand and water. And he was all excited telling me what it was going to be. And I smiled, but all I saw was sand and water. But when you get something in your head, it doesn't have to be there when you start, but it will show up when you finish. Other people in here, they got a vision in your head. You haven't even seen it yet, but you've got it in your head. You're going to see it in your life. You're going to see it right in front of your face. Success to me is not a dollar amount. It's not a certain amount of degrees. It's not a certain physique, a certain tone, a certain texture to your voice. Success is when what God put in your head shows up in front of your eyes. Whatever that is, whether that's a ministry, a marriage, an outreach, a business, a company, whatever it is, the fulfillment of a vision is the pleasure of the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me get to work. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen. I will be reading it out of the Amplified Bible. And initially, perhaps my text and my subject will not seem coordinated correctly, but bear with me in my folly as we explore the scriptures, that we might better understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. For I do not want you to be unaware, believers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, in which God's presence went before them, and they all passed miraculously and safely through the Red Sea. And all of them were baptized into Moses, into his safe keeping as their leader in the cloud and in the sea. And all of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to use an unusual title for the text, but I'm going to talk to you about the birth of a nation. The birth, somebody say the birth of a nation. Now I'm going to really try your faith on this next one. On your way to you, just before you sit down, look at somebody and tell them I'm pregnant. Yeah, if you're sitting by your husband, he almost fainted. You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. This cannot be true. And the men are scared to say it, but I'm going to give you another chance. Tell somebody and say, I'm pregnant. There is something inside of us that you want to produce, oh God. There is something inside of us that is leaping in our womb. There is something inside of us that has caused us travail and stretching and pain and problems and tests and trials. And yet in the midst of it all, you have a plan for each and every one of us. Much bigger than we expected, much more than we anticipated, much more than our circumstances verify. It is more because you are in it, and that which is born of you is always exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that works in us. For the next few moments, I ask you to open up the roof and let your angels flap their wings in this house. Send your presence like a mighty rushing wind until both pillar and post are moved and the house is filled with smoke. I thank you for your preeminent glory and grace and power. Touch every person in this building until we all hear the same word, but we get a different message because the Spirit of God has interpreted, and it is so. And so it is. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, shout like you're shouting at your kid. Shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in his presence. Perhaps I should begin to take on the arduous task of articulating the fact that any time one pursues freedom, expect blood. Because freedom is a bloody business. It's a wonderful idea. But history has taught us throughout all of time that in order to attain that idea, it has also came through much suffering and much bloodshed. On both sides of the waters, the fight for freedom has cost us many of our forefathers' lives that we might be sitting here today at this moment, at this time, enjoying what benefits exist for us in this current climate. And I must say to you, I lived in America all of my life, and the first time I traveled out of the country, I went to London and landed in London and noticed the architectural designs and the archaeological buildings and the historical artifacts of that great city. And it was then that I realized how young our country was in comparison to the countries of the world. America is a fairly young country. a new idea, an adolescent, as it were, especially right now. I think we are stuck in a state of complete adolescence trying to figure out who we are. But that is to be expected when you grow. When you think about Nigeria on your 63rd anniversary as a nation, you are even younger still. My mind goes back to America when it was 63 years old, and you would be shocked to have seen what America was like at 63. No benefits, no systems, no drainage, no sewers, few hospitals, dirt roads, insufficient finances, turmoil, trial, internal test trials and corruptions. 63 years old, it takes a long time. Greatness does not come like a microwave oven. Greatness does not come easily or quickly like social media. You punch a button and you get a result. Greatness comes over time and generations, and it takes generations for the full impact of greatness to come through. Through many trials and tribulations and tests, many people shed blood in America to bring about our different days of independence, because we didn't get independence on the same day. And we're still trying to sort out independence, because everybody's independence cannot be marked by one particular moment. Independence is a process. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The birth of a woman, the birth of a baby through a woman proves that freedom is a bloody business. When I was a little boy watching television and they would show birth on television, the baby came out. That baby must have been 3 months old. It was pretty and it was clean and it was neat and his hair was swept back and it was smelling all good and everything. When I saw a real birth, it is not like that at all. The baby is not, well, it's pretty to the mama. I don't know whether y'all have them over here, but we have these babies that test your faith. You know, the parent shows you the baby and you're trying to say something nice and you don't want to say something that's insulting. So this is what I do. I say, oh, ooh, it needs something. Which means sometimes I'm not sure what he is. But in the birthing process, in the process of birthing a baby, the baby comes through all types of bodily fluids and blood and gall and has to be clean, because in order to be free from the umbilical cord from which it has survived for 9 months, it has to be cut, and it is a bloody business. From the labor ward of a birthing room of a woman having a child to the bleeding side of our Savior, the blood of Jesus itself testifies that true freedom is a bloody business. I heard him say, Father, if it be thy will, pass this bitter cup from me. If there is another way that I can establish a nation without going to a cross, let me do it. If I can wear a crown and not have a cross, let me do it. And then he says, not my will, but thine be done. Because the truth of the matter is, wherever you see a crown, there is a cross. Do not deceive yourself into thinking that somebody just received it arbitrarily because they wanted it or they had strong willpower. There is a suffering, there is a bleeding, there is a price to pay in order for you to get your next promotion. You don't just get promotions because you dance. You don't just get promotions because you come to church. You get promotions because your faith has tried and it's been tested and you've endured suffering and you've cried unto the Lord. And finally, in his time, in his providence, in his purpose, he brings you completely out. The Bible Bible said, after you have suffered a while, I will establish you and make you perfect. So God says, I didn't promise to make you perfect the moment you prayed. I'll let you suffer a while. I'll let you go through the first and second and third trimester before I give you what I'm going to give you, but you know it's coming. When you walk with God, there is an indicator inside of your spirit that even though the dream has not manifested yet, you know it's coming because you feel it kicking inside of you. Over the last 3 days, 4 days, there have been moments that I have seen babies leap in the wombs of people in this room. Ideas and dreams and praise and adoration prostrate on the floor, praising God as God let the kick come to remind you that I'm still there and I'm still in you. Somebody shout, I'm still here. I've had some tough times and dark days, but I am still here. I've cried myself to sleep, but I am still here. I've had to hold the pillow to get to bed, but I'm still here. I've been forsaken and denied, but I'm still here. I haven't always been able to eat whatever I wanted to eat, but I am still here. I haven't always been able to tell my friends from my enemies, but I'm still here. I've been lied on, betrayed, ostracized, but I am still here. That's why you see me praise him. I couldn't praise him like this if I hadn't endured some stuff. The people that you see praising God, some of you look at them and you think they are just emotional, but they're not emotional. They're triumphant. They have been through some stuff that threatened to take them out, but God brought them through by his power and his glory. And when God brings you out of a storm, it will make you give him the praise. You don't have to have great singers or great dancers or great musicians. If you got a great memory that God brought you through something and cut loose something that you were tied to, you don't even have to have anybody up front to be able to praise God. You can praise him in your car and in your house and in your living room. Can I get a witness in here? Is there anybody in the room that knows how to praise God off of your memories, your resume, his testimony, the things he's already done in your life, make you praise him and give you the courage to believe that if he did that, he can do this. If he moved this, he can move that. If he healed the other, he can heal this too. If he brought me through Monday, he'll bring me through Thursday. If he brought me through Tuesday, he'll bring me through Friday. I'm starting to get bold about this thing. I'm starting to run up on the devil and saying, I wish you would. Because I've seen God do it so many times that I know if he did it before, he'll do it again. I know I'm not by myself. There has to be somebody else in the room that understands that the God we serve is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And we're not afraid to praise him. Look funny if you want to, but we'll still praise him. Roll your eyes, but we'll still praise him. Think we're fanatical, but we'll still praise him. Get an attitude, but we'll still praise him. Resent us, but we'll still praise him. Gossip about us, but we'll still praise him. Because we've already been through enough that we're not going to be bound by your opinion or bound by your attitude. Freedom is a bloody business, and if I have to break out, I'm going to break out in a praise. If I'm the only one on my row, if I'm the only one in the balcony, if I'm the only one on the rooftop, if I'm the only one on the mountain, when I get rid of that. Look at your neighbor and say, I got enough Holy Ghost to praise him by myself. If you don't praise him, I can praise him on my own. If you don't glorify him, I can glorify him on my own. Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. When I look back over my shoulder and remember where he brought me from, my soul cries out, how I got over my soul. Oh, looks back and wonders how I got over. In my text tonight, I won't be long this morning. I'm used to preaching at night. I don't know what day it is. I don't know. Is it Sunday? I think it's Sunday. Yeah, Sunday morning. Yeah. My body is somewhere in between Nigeria and Texas, trying to figure out what time zone I am in. In my text tonight, the Apostle Paul has called the church at Corinth back to a moment of memory that he describes in the most unusual fashion. The memory is not foreign, but the description is unusual. The memory is the amalgamation of a promise that God has decreed to Abraham before he went to sleep. God promised Abraham, your seed is going to be blessed. Say that with me. Your seed is going to be blessed. Yeah, God said your seed is going to be blessed. Your seed is going to be blessed. And I'm going to cause your seed to sojourn in Egypt for 400 years. And after 400 years of slavery, you're going to come out with great substance. Great slavery, great substance, great suffering, great substance, the greater the test, the greater the triumph, the greater the trial, the greater the victory, the greater the assault, the greater the anointing. You can't get a great anointing if you haven't had a great assault. Some of you don't understand it, but you're making down payments right now on the anointing that God's going to release in your life, and the enemy's assaulting you on the level of your next while you're dealing with your now. He's not fighting you over where you are. He's fighting you over where you're going. Who am I talking to in this place? Who am I talking to? Hear me now. Paul in this text refers to the evacuation of the children of Israel, the Hebrew children, out from under the hand of Pharaoh. When God decides to deliver them, he spares no expense at their escape. He decides to deliver a children who have not really served him for 400 years. They have been in captivity, and yet God decides to deliver them and send Moses back to deliver them and to set them free. And when he gets ready to fight Pharaoh, he fights him as only God can fight. Somebody holler, God can fight. Oh, that you didn't holler it. You're just being polite. I don't want your Sunday morning stuff. God can fight. Yeah, you need to say it loud enough that your enemies can hear you. That the devil can hear you, that cancer can hear you, that trouble can hear you. Somebody say, God can fight. Pharaoh is gathering up swords and shields. Pharaoh is gathering up horses and chariots, and God is fighting with frogs and lice and boils. Who else but God can speak frogs? Only your God can stand on the banks of the Nile and speak to the frogs, and the frogs understand him. God speaks in all languages. God spoke to locusts and they understood him. God spoke to lice and they understood him. God spoke to boils and the boils understood him. When God gets ready to speak, God can speak to things that you didn't even know was a weapon, but God can weaponize anything when he gets ready to deliver you. Don't be upset when he doesn't deliver you through your relatives and your kin people or your heroes or your friends, because God will use things that you never thought was a weapon to bring you out from under the hand of your enemy. In fact, the Bible said, by this I know that the Lord is with me, because he has not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. I know God is with me, because even when I was outnumbered, he delivered me. I know God was with me. Even when you had better weapons, he delivered me. I know God is with me, because you had a chariot and all I had was a hammer and a plow, but God still delivered me. And I came to deserve notice on somebody in this room. I don't care who's trying to hold you hostage. When God gets ready to deliver you, he will deliver you with the strangest things. Stop being angry at the people who don't stand up for you, because God didn't promise to use your friends. God will make your enemies your footstool. He'll make your naysayers your footstool. He'll make the one who spoke against you your footstool. One way or the other, I came to tell House on the Rock. One way or the other, I came to tell Lagos. One way or the other, I came to tell Nigeria, you're coming out of this. You either come out on your own, or we're going to drag you out. One way or the other, you're coming out of this. Everybody who's got a mind to come out, give God a praise right now. So Paul reflects on a time when the Hebrew children were being afflicted. They were being afflicted because they had dwelt in the southern part of Egypt and dominated the southern part of the Egypt until they were getting so big that they were intimidating the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh thought to himself, let's afflict them so we can stop them from growing, lest they overcome us and take over our territory. The root of all prejudice is always fear. Whenever people are afraid you're getting too big, they will always attack you and try to take you under, because they're intimidated by who you are, whether they are your same culture or not, your same gender or not, your same nationality or not. In some ways, their fight is a compliment. In some way, I'm going to say that again because it's going to take a minute for that to sink in. In some ways, their fight is a compliment because they are afraid of you. And the Bible says that they begin to grow, and they begin, the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. The people who have never been afflicted, they don't really grow to church. They go to church, but they don't grow in church. The people who really grow in church, who really praise, who really worship, who really sing, who really serve, are people who have been afflicted. You haven't had a praise till you get a praise from somebody who's been through an affliction. The people who had everything going right, y'all don't know how to praise God. You're too cute to praise the Lord. But the people who had to fight their way through hell and high water to get to where they got right now, when they get ready to praise God, they really know how to praise God, because the very fact that they're in the building is a miracle and a testimony to the authenticity of God himself. These are the people that will praise God and get on your nerves. These are the people that will praise God and jump up, and they don't care whether you can see around them or not. These are the people that will leap for joy. These are the people that will open their mouth and holler. These are the people that will leap up and down and praise God, because they have nothing to lose, because God brought them through and he fought for them and he pleaded their case. And he went to court for them, and he brought them through the storm and the rain, and he brought them through disease and affliction. And they don't care if you get, if they get on your nerves, they're going to keep on praising God and lifting him up. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this room right now who has that kind of praise that will break out spontaneously and bless God. God, I thank you. He told Abraham, after their suffering, they're going to come out with great substance. After the suffering comes the substance. After they've suffered a while, they're going to come out with great substance. And when God got ready to bring them out, he spared no expense on bringing them out. not. In fact, he attacked Pharaoh and said, I'm going to attack your son until you let my son go. Behold, Israel is my son, my firstborn son. And God started fighting. Have you ever had God fight for you? Have you ever had God pull you through something that nobody thought you were going to be able to get through, but God brought you out anyway? The children of Israel came out because God brought them out. And he told them, the death angel is going to pass by tonight, and the death angel is going to fight for you. And the only way you're going to be protected is that if you slay a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I didn't understand this until I was in Katrina and the big flood we had in America, and we were in the rescue missions going into the houses where they were pulling out dead bodies. Any house that had been searched, they would put a red X on it to let everybody know that that house has already been searched. So we would pass over that house. So this same principle is what happens in the text when God says put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. When the death angel passed by, he didn't excuse their sin. The blood covered their sin. The blood said, I've already judged this house. You can keep moving to the next house. There are some people in this room that the only reason you escaped is that the blood pleaded your case and covered you, and it would have got you too, but it had to pass over your head because God put the blood that gave you the liberty that you got right now. Somebody give him a liberty praise in this place right now. And God brings them out with Pharaoh chasing behind them with 600 chosen chariots. I better preach while I'm here. 600 chosen chariots. They don't have not one chariot. They don't have one shield. They don't have one sword. They're a bunch of farmers. And they've got 600 chosen chariots from a Pharaoh who was malicious and destructive. And they still kept on going. And God brought them out. And he brought them out by his power. But they got to a place where they start murmuring and complaining because they were afraid. And Moses looked up at God and said, what shall I do? And God said, what is that in your hand? God will always give you something in your hand that will fight the thing that's standing in your way. Hold your hand up. Say, I got something in my hand. Show me what's in my hand. The devil wants you to see what's in everybody else's hand, but God will only use what is in your hand. And the Bible said that he stretched forth his staff. That's why I got to have the right staff. I can't have just anybody on staff. I can't have people that can't be stretched. I can't have people that can only do one job. I got to have people on my staff that I can stretch. And the Bible said when he stretched forth the rods, the waters parted hither and thither. And they all went through on dry ground. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And this looks like deliverance to me. It looks like deliverance to me. It looks like the church being born. And it is the Old Testament church. It is ecclesia. It is the Old Testament church. But it is also a nation. It is a nation from a slave to a nation, from servitude to sonship. They went into the water as slaves. They came out of the water as sons. No, no, no. They went in debt. The Bible said to borrow the gold and the silver of the Egyptians. So when they went in the water, they went in debt. But when they came out of the water, they came out of debt. Because you can't be in debt to dead people. people. And the Bible says that Pharaoh and all of his soldiers drowned in the Red Sea. So they went in debt, but they came out of debt. I'm talking about supernatural debt cancellation. I don't know who that's for today, but when God gets ready to bring you in, you're not going to look like when you come out what you did when you went in, because everything that was on your mind, God's going to kill it in the water. He's going to destroy it in the process. And when you come out, you're going to come out freer than you've ever been in your life. I don't know who that's for, but I didn't even plan to say that, but whoever that's for, God says supernatural debt cancellation. He's going to set your finances completely in order. You're going to go in on the run, but you're going to come out with your head up. You're going to go in with your head down, but you're going to come out beating the tambourine and dancing before God, saying, surely the Lord has done great things for us because he's able. The Bible said that they had borrowed all the gold from the Egyptians until they had to put the gold on their children's back. So it wasn't just mom and dad carrying gold and silver. It was also the children carrying gold and silver. They were bent over. And not just the mom and the dad, but the children, the son and the daughter, were also carrying great wealth. What am I talking to you about? I'm talking about generational blessings. I'm talking about the blessing that's on the mama and the daddy is going to fall on the brother and the sister. I'm talking about generational blessings. Some of you are walking into blessings right now that your grandparents prayed about, but you finally stepped into that place of blessing, and that's why you got to give God the glory. You got to praise him for you. You got to praise him for your mama. You got to praise him for your daddy. You got to praise him for your grandfather. If it had not been for the Lord that was on your side, you would have been swallowed up. But God gave you the victory, and with all your might, you've got to give God the praise. Paul refers to this miraculous moment, this breakthrough moment, this transferring moment, this metamorphical moment as a baptism. He is the first one in the entire Bible to refer to the miracle as a baptism. He said they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. A baptism, death, burial, resurrection. A baptism? This is a baptism? I didn't know it was a baptism. I thought it was just a deliverance. But God said, no, it's got to be a baptism, because in order for it to be a birth, there has to be a baptism. There has to be a breaking of water, or there is no birth. There's something that God has going on between water and birth. It started in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. That's water. And the earth came up out of the water. That's the first time we see deliverance brought about through water. And here we see it again at the Red Sea. Deliverance is brought about through the water. And we see it every time a baby is born. Deliverance is brought about through the water. And we see it when Joshua comes to the Jordan River with a new generation of people. And in order for them to go into the promised land, they had to go through the water. Only this time they had to get their feet wet before the waters parted. Let me put a pin right there. Some of you expected the waters to part for you without you getting your feet wet. But we're living in a time right now, you got to walk into something that ain't moving and say, I'm going to keep walking into it until God opens up a door and makes a way out of no way. I know I look like a fool, and I know it's not working like it worked for Moses, but God said he's going to be with me like he was with Moses. He didn't say he was going to do it like he did with Moses, but he's going to be with me like he was with Moses. So I can't compete with Moses. I can't imitate Moses, because God is going to do a new thing in my life, and he didn't promise to do it the way he did with Moses. So if I stand by the Jordan like he stood by the Red Sea, and I wait on the Jordan to part, I might not get it. But if I am radical enough to step down into stuff that ain't moving and say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. Somebody in here, you're going to have to step into it before it starts moving. You can't stand back. You've been saying, Lord, as soon as I see my way clear, I'm going to step into it. But God is saying, no, you can't see your way clear. You got to go ahead and get your feet wet and step over into the water. And when I see you step into the problem, I'm going to step into the middle of it with you. And I'm going to make a way out of no way. And I'm going to bring you up. And I'm going to bring you out. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the Holy Ghost said, step in it. Step right into the impossible. Step right into the invisible. Step right into the thing that looks like it's not going to move. They're going to be laughing at you, but step in it. Your feet are going to get wet, but step in it. You're going to get wet up to your waist, but step in it. And God said, when I see you step, I'm going to step with you. That's why my brother had you taking steps this morning, because this is the time for you to take a step like you never took a step before, to go to a place in your life like you've never gone before. How many people feel the Holy Ghost pushing you to start stepping? Stop crying and start stepping. Stop worrying and start stepping. Stop being depressed and start stepping. I need 30 seconds of crazy praise from somebody in this room that's ready to step into the miracle work and the power of God. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. You've got 15 seconds to open your mouth. You've got 10 seconds to give it. 10 seconds to give it. 10 seconds to praise it. 10 seconds like you're going to step on something. 7 seconds like you're going to step into the pot. 5 seconds like you're going to step, 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 step. I need some high steppers up in the balcony, up in the top. I need some steppers that are going to, you got 3 seconds to open your mouth and give God a... You see, my brothers and sisters, it does not make sense to me that Pharaoh would be chasing them trying to get the slaves back, because he's already trying to make it hard so they'll stop reproducing. Pharaoh doesn't need more slaves. He's trying to slow down the birth of the slaves already. So why would he use his best arsenal to go get what he's trying to get rid of? He's not after the slaves. He's after the money. They have the gross national wealth of Egypt, and they're on their way out of the city, and he's trying to get it back. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't even know what you got. For the devil to be fighting you like he's fighting you, you got to be carrying something. Your daughter's got to be carrying something. Your son has got to be carrying something. You don't even understand what you got on your back. You don't even realize what God is going to do in your life. But when God gets ready to bring you out, this ain't just about you. This is about your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. Everything in your house is going to come out, bent over in their back, carrying gold on their shoulder. When God gets ready to bring you out, he's going to bring everything in your house out. I need some mamas and some daddies that can praise for the whole house, that can praise for children that aren't even in yet, that can praise for grandchildren, that can praise for generational blessings, that can praise for God opening doors, that can praise for God turning things around. I can't hear you. Down, they went down into the water. You always got to go down into the water. They went down into the water. The earth went down into the water. The children of Israel went down into the water. Joshua went down into the water. that Jesus went down into the water. In between every miracle, there's got to be a water or a storm you got to go through to get you to the next dimension. If you don't go through the storm, you can't get to the blessing. When I first came here, I told you Jesus had to go to the storm to heal the man with demons in the tomb of Gadarenes. And when Jesus asked him what was his name, he said, "We're legion, for we are many." In other words, we didn't just start the attack when you got off the boat. We started the attack when we saw you coming. We were in the winds and the waves when we saw you on your way. Some of you, it didn't get hard when you got close. It got hard when the devil saw you coming. He knew you were going to come, and he started sending storms in your way to stop you from getting where you're trying to go. But the devil is a lie. What God has for you is for you. Nobody can take what he's got from you. Nobody can move what he's got from you. Nobody can upset what he's got for you. Who am I talking to? Hallelujah. If they try to get what God has for you, they gonna drown in what you walk through. The Bible said that they walked through on dry ground, but when Pharaoh tried to go on the dry ground, all of a sudden his wheels got stuck in the mud. Where did the mud come from? God will let it be dry for you and wet on your enemy. God will let it be dry for you and stop your enemy and make them stuck in what you walk through. What you walk through, everybody can't get through, but when God gets ready to take you through, he'll drown them in what you got out of. Come on and talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah to God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Stop looking back over your shoulder. Stop worrying about who's chasing you. Stop worrying about who's after your stuff. They're going to get stuck in what you walk through, because what God has for you is for you. If I'm talking to the right people, let me hear a noise in this house. Said that all of a sudden when they got safely to the other side and Pharaoh was drowning in the Red Sea, we often talk about Miriam beating her tambourine and dancing before God. But what we don't tell you is while she was dancing, her devils were dying. Let me tell you, all you quiet people, I don't know how you gonna drown your devils, but us rowdy people, we gonna drown him in a praise. The Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you want some rivers in here, you got to open your mouth. If you open your mouth, you gonna drown what's chasing you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. When they knew anything, Pharaoh was drowning in the water, and while he was drowning, they were shouting praises unto God. See, the thing about being a praiser is the more you praise him, the more you drown your enemy. That's why the enemy wants you to lose your praise in the middle of the battle, because if you lose your praise, there won't be anything for him to be stuck in. Oh, but I got some muddy Christians in here. I got some wet Christians in here. I got some praising Christians in here. I got some believing Christians in here. I got some people with a made up mind in here. I got some people that made up their mind, I don't care, I'm going to give God the praise. And the more you praise him, the more you praise him, the more you praise. Oh my God, it's getting wet in here. It's getting real wet in here because somebody's got a belly that's full of praise. And out of their belly is flowing not river, but rivers of living water. And you about to flood this place. That's why the enemy wanted to shut you down, because he understood that when you open your mouth and start praising God, demons can't swim. They're going to drown in your praise. They're going to drown in your faith. They're going to drown in your confidence. Hallelujah. You remember how the Bible said that demons go to and fro looking for dry places. They're still looking for dry places. If you a dry person, the demon can stay with you. But if you a wet person, if you got a praise that comes out of your belly, if you got a praise that comes out of your mouth, no devil can stay wherever there's a praise. They're looking for dry places. You can't wait on your neighbor not to be dry. You got to open your mouth and praise him until rivers start. Rivers, 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 rivers. My God, find somebody that's got some faith and shake their hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them something's about to happen in this place. 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 Something's about to break loose in this place. Something's about to change in your life. Something's about to change in your country. Something's about to change in your family. Something's about to change in your finances. Something's about to change in your body. Something's about to change in your spirit. Something's about to change in your attitude. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. From the balcony to the floor, from the north to the south, from the east to the west. Ow! 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 Going for a swim. Hallelujah! Yeah! Lordy! Dancing and Pharaoh is drowning. At the same time, and sometimes we're so stuck on her dancing, we don't see what the dancing is doing. But if you got the kind of faith, if you got the kind of conviction that'll make you come through something and dance before God, while you're dancing, your devil is drowning. 60 seconds to drown your devil out. Drown him! Drown him! Drown him! Drown him! Drown him out! Drown him out! wonder that when Paul got close to Rome, the ship had to break up and he had to get to the water to get to the other side of it. The water is a sign that a breakthrough is coming in your life. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm right back where I started on the first night. The whole boat can come apart, but if you got a piece of it, grab a hold to the piece and go through the baptism. When you come out on the other side, the devil can't do you no harm. The Bible said that when Paul came up out of the water, they were building him a fire and a snake came out and bit him, but it didn't do him any harm. They thought he was going to die, but he didn't die. And the Lord told me, there's some people looking at you, waiting on you to die, but the devil is alive. Do you hear me, Nigeria? They're waiting on you to die, but the devil is a lie. You may have been bitten, but you've not been beaten. And I dare you to praise him like you lost your mind. Formed against you shall be able to prosper. Somebody shake it off, 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 poisonous. It should have killed him, but it didn't. They waited on him to die, but he wouldn't. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whatever bitch was poisonous, it should have killed you, but it didn't. And they waited on you to die, but you didn't. And you need to give God the praise that no weapon formed against you has been able to prosper. I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. Now watch this. Sit with me. Sit with me. Sit with me. Sit with me. I'm almost done. Sit with me. Oh my God, but I feel something. I feel something in this place. How many people feel glory in this place right now? What's this? So Moses told Pharaoh to let God's people go that they might worship him in the wilderness. But there was nothing to come back to because the same Red Sea that opened up shut down. You praise him for the doors he opens. I praise him for the doors he closes. Thank you for the stuff that didn't work. Thank you for the one I didn't marry. Thank you for the job I didn't get. Thank you for the people who wouldn't be my friend. Thank you for shutting down doors. When you shut down the door, you gave me clear direction. I don't know who I'm talking to. Don't be crying because the door shut. Dance when the door shuts. It gives you clear direction. You're not to go back to where the door has
has already been closed. This is a prophetic word for somebody. God says, stop knocking on old doors. If the door closes, let the door close. If the Red Sea shuts down, let it shut down. So there's no turning back. Slap somebody and say, I won't go back. I don't know where I go from here, but I won't go back. I don't know.
I'm going to show you something real quick. So God turns a bunch of farmers into a nation. And if they're going to be a nation, there has to be an inauguration. So he takes them to Mount Sinai for an inauguration. And he gives them the Ten Commandments as a constitution. He gives them the judgments as a rule of law. He gives them the ordinances to establish worship. Because this is not a democracy, it's a theocracy. And God is in charge. The commandments become the constitution. The judgments become the bylaws of how we are to treat each other. And the ordinances are to teach us how to worship God. Because what we are witnessing is the birth of a nation. And I'll prove it to you real quick. In the middle of the year, God started a new year. And when God started a new year, he said, this shall be the beginning of months unto you. Stay with me. This shall be the beginning of months unto you. God said, I'm going to start a new beginning in the middle of your year. So this is going to be your birthday. The day you recognize who you are, it's always your birthday. The day you say, I'm not a slave anymore, it's always your birthday. The day you demand your independence, cut the umbilical cord, it's always your birthday. And they became a nation in a day. So much so that they wanted to be like the other nations and have a physical king. But the distinction in their nationality is that God has become their king. And you want him to be your savior, but do you want him to be your Lord? He doesn't just want to get you out of trouble. He wants to be your king. In fact, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the everlasting Father. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. He is your Jehovah Jireh, your Jehovah Sikkenu, your Jehovah Rohi, your Jehovah Manna. Excuse me a minute. He's the lily of your valley. He's your bright and morning star. Let me cut. He's my rose of Sharon. He's my shield and buckler. He's my defense and my strength. He is the I Am of Israel. He is my kinsman redeemer. He is my day star. He is my bulwark. He is my trumpet. He is my peace. He is my shofar. He is my smoking furnace. He is my burning lamb. He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. He is my beginning. He is
is my end. He is my doctor. He is my lawyer. He is my rock of ages. He is my rock in a weary land. He is my water in a dry place. He's altogether lovely. My bright and morning star. My cloud above me by day. My pillar of fire by night. My help in ages past. My counselor, my attorney, my physician, my waymaker, my help, my strength, my healer, my deliverer, my waymaker, my bridge over troubled waters. He is my everything. Everything I want, everything I need. All I got to do is call his name, and it's already done. As for this world, this is not my world. I didn't come here to stay. A few more risings and settings of the sun, and I'll be on my way. My kingdom is not of this world. It is the birth of a nation. Stand to your feet. I'll set you close with this. Elizabeth thought she was pregnant. And God said, you're not just pregnant. There are two nations inside of you. Oh, Lord, I thought I was having a baby. God said, not to me. It's a baby to you, but not to me. To me, it's a nation. Two nations. Whatever you're carrying, God said, it's bigger than you think it is. Your bassinet will not be able to hold it. Because out of the dream you're carrying shall come a great nation. You don't know what kind of king is going to come through your next idea. You're one idea away from the greatest ministry you ever had. You're one idea away from the best-selling book you ever wrote. You're one idea away from the house that will enable you to raise your children in. You're one idea away from a $1 million blessing. You're one idea away from a business that's going to explode in the midst of a dry economy. You're one idea away from a partnership that's going to bring you into fruition. You're one idea away from the promises of God, and your spirit knows it. Even though your mind doubts it, your spirit knows it. That's why something's leaping inside of you, because you still believe that God is going to make a way, and you shall bring forth. And Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past childbearing age, because she judged him faithful who had promised her. And the Lord said, you think it's too late, but it's not too late. By this time next year, you thought it was going to happen in your 20s and it didn't happen. You thought it was going to happen in your 30s and it didn't happen. And you said, nah, it's too late. It's the wrong time. It's too late. It's the wrong season. It's the wrong hour. You're wrong. Sarah received strength to conceive a nation. Isaac wasn't just a child. Was a nation.
Ishmael was a nation. Jacob and Esau were nations. Ideas and dreams are nations. And you're being fought on a national level. But you got an embryonic mentality. Until you recognize that what I'm carrying is bigger than what I'm seeing, then you won't recognize that the birth of a nation is in you. Moses' mama didn't know she was birthing a nation. She knew he was important, but she had no idea that she was delivering her deliverer. Mary knew that which was in her was conceived by the Holy Ghost, but she thought she was delivering him, and he was delivering her. She didn't understand why she had to go through the hardship of birthing him in a barn while shepherds were grazing in the field. Of course, shepherds should be grazing in the field. You're not having a child, you're having a lamb. Lambs are supposed to be born in a manger. He is the Lamb of God. And while shepherds are grazing in the field, she has no idea that she is delivering her deliverer. In fact, Mary is the only woman in history that got to carry her baby twice. Oh, I like you quiet like that. That's good. Because I know you're waiting on me to prove it. She carried him the first time and birthed him in the manger. She followed him behind him. And he said, who is my mother? He that doeth the will of the Father, same as my mother and father. He pushed her back, but she kept on following. She followed him to Calvary and watched as they crucified her son. But the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were in one place with one accord, that suddenly all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost. And for the first time in everybody else's life, they had Jesus in them. But Mary said, I got you back. I got you back. He restored unto me that the cankerworms and the locusts and the palmer worm ate up. God said, everything you thought you lost, I will give it back. I am instructed to pray for nations. I am instructed to pray because the idea, the concept, the dream, the business, the vision, the idea, the hope you have is not just an embryo. The change that will change this nation will begin in your belly. You are the people you have been waiting on. And this is a good time for the birth of a nation. Join hands, I'm going to close. I don't know how y'all do it over here. Y'all probably do it better than we do. But in America, when your wife is having a baby, they let the husband go in. And I was having a good time. I was watching the machine go. When it got real loud, I said, here comes another one, baby. It's a contraction. She said, I already know. So finally I realized that the best thing for a man to do was to shut up and hold her hand. And the person you're touching, whose hand you hold, no matter what level of life they're in, there's something they're trying to birth. Squeeze that hand. They call it labor because it's hard. They call it labor because you gotta push. They call it labor because you can't give up now. God is about to strengthen you. Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past childbearing age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Squeeze that hand. Strength is coming into them right now. Strength, 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 strength. They've been tired. They've been discouraged. They've been frustrated, but strength is coming. New strength, new vision, new ideas, new people, new opportunities, new doors, new contracts, new arrangements, new partnerships, new vision, new concepts. Squeeze their hand. They're going into labor. This is a moment for them to push. If they push right now, God is going to birth something that's going to deliver them. You're going to push out something that pushes you out. You're going to deliver something that delivers you. You're going to bring forth something that brings you forth. Squeeze that hand. One more push and a change is going to happen. One more push and there's going to be a change. One more push and your capacity is going to increase. One more push and God's going to bring people around you who have the capacity for the vision you have. Are you ready to push? I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, every dreamer in this building, every thinker in this building, everybody who's got a vision in this building, get ready to push. One. When I get to three, I want everybody who believes God for a better tomorrow, for a richer future, for a better life, for a ministry, for a marriage, for a family too. I want everybody that's got a vision that God's going to use you like he's never used you before. You had to fight the devil. You had to fight Goliath. You had to fight problems. The devil's after your push. He wants you to lose your push. But when I say three, with everything you got, with all of your might, with all of your strength, I don't care how old you are, when I say three, I want you to receive strength to push. Are you ready? Three.
Yeah!
to receive strength. You're going to have to receive strength. Don't worry about receiving the baby. You're going to have to receive strength. Nigeria, you're in a pushing season. And if you don't push right now, it's not going to be delivered. You got to receive some strength. This ain't no time to get tired. This ain't no time to be weary and well-doing. This is a time to push, 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 to push. Oh, it's bigger than I thought. Oh, it's harder than I thought. Oh, it's going to take more than I thought. Oh, I'm going to have to change places, move locations, change things around, but I got to push. I got to push because I got a promise that afterwards I'm going to come out with great substance. I didn't grow up going to the grocery store. I grew up going up the street to the garden where my mother grew a big garden. It was hard when we were planting, but it was harder when we were harvesting because it takes more energy to harvest than it is to sow seed. I could have the whole garden in my pockets and sow seeds. But when I get ready to pick fruit, I'm going to have to bend and pick over and put away and carry the full weight of it. Somebody, you have come into harvest. And you're going to need strength to deliver what God is going to do in your life. Who am I talking to? I don't know. Quickly. We got to do this quick. Everybody who recognizes God has more for you. But honestly, you just been tired. And you've been thinking, Lord, if one more thing goes wrong, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. And now you send this preacher from Texas who talks funny. And you bring him down here and you're telling me to push. And if you want me to push, you're going to have to renew my strength. Whoever that is, come to this altar right now. I need strength for this season. I've been through tests and trials and disappointments and abandonment and frustration. And I want to push, Bishop. Bishop, I really want to push. I really need to push. But I need strength. Mama tired now. Dad is tired, and I need strength for this season that I'm in right now. Renew my strength. I know I'm coming out of it. I know I'm going to come out of it. I know I'm going to come out of it. I know my enemy's going to be drowned in what I came out of. But for what's next, I need strength. I know I made it on broken boards and broken pieces, but if I'm going to shake this snake, I'm going to need some strength right now. But if you strengthen me, I'm going to shake him till he turns me loose. Here they come. They're coming from every direction. Strength to deliver. Strength to bring forth. Strength to be fruitful. strength to develop, strength to evolve, strength to become, strength to conceive, strength to plant, strength to build. God is sending strength to you right now. Hallelujah. The enemies that you see today, you will see them no more. Lift your hands up. I'm praying for strength. For this is a day of rebuke and of trouble, for the children have come to birth and there is no strength to deliver. God is going to renew strength. Eternal and all wise God, we lift Nigeria before you. We need strength to deliver. We lift House on the Rock before you. We need strength. We had to fight COVID. We had to fight the economy. We had to fight everything. We need strength to deliver. I lift my house before you, my home before you, my heart before you, my vision before you. This is no time for me to be tired. Renew my strength from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Restore my prayer life. Restore my anointing. Restore my unction. Restore my Bible study. Restore my holiness. Restore my consecration. Restore my dignity. Restore my self-esteem. I need strength. I've been getting slow. I need fresh strength. I know you got something in me. I know you got something in me. But I need strength to deliver. Father, look on every raised hand and every open heart and let the anointing of the Holy Ghost shower down on them and strengthen them for the journey from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. I thank you for new strength coming into their life right now. I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, because you're going to bring water into dry places. Hallelujah. New joy, new strength, new concepts, new ideas, new innovation, new creativity, new concepts. I'm going to find a way. Where there's been a wall, you're going to make a way. Where there's been a wall, you're going to make a way. I'm through telling myself what can't be done and what I can't have and what can't happen in Nigeria. The devil is a lie. I'm going to find a way. We will be the generation that finds a way out of no way. We will be the generation that opens up a door where there was a solid wall. We will be the one that walks across on dry ground. I can't hear you. Receive this word. Receive it in your belly. Receive it in your spirit. Receive it in your heart. Receive it in your mind. Let everything that have breath in this house give God a praise right now.
He's able.
Father, we settle in our mind right now that this will not be just another Sunday morning. This will be a turning point. This will be a turning point. This will be a turning point in my life, in my home, in my body, in my prayer life, in my consecration, in my finances. I thank you for a sudden, immediate turnaround in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Shout amen again. On your way back to your seat, touch somebody and tell them he's able. He's able. Tell them. Tell them he's able. He's able. He's able. He's able.
Tell him he's able. He's able.
Tell him he's able. While the anointing is flowing in this place, I just want to pray over your seed as we sow into the kingdom of God. We're not going to sow like it's just another Sunday. We're going to sow like we're carrying something valuable, mighty. We're going to sow because we're making space, enlarging our cords and strengthening our stakes and expecting God to move. You were going to give anyway, but I challenge you to sow on a level that you have never sown so that you can grow on a level where you have never gone. And all I want to do is pray over it. I want to pray over what you're dreaming, what you're thinking, what you're carrying, what God has called you to do, what he has promised you. Can I agree with you in prayer as you give? If you're watching online, the anointing is here. This is a sacred moment. God wants to do something for you. And I want to pray over you. The information is on the screen. If you want to give through your phone, all the details are up there. But I challenge you in this anointing to sow like you're worth it. Like you're carrying something. Like you believe something. I want you to sow like you expect a door to open up where there was a wall. Because God is able. Somebody say he's able. He's able. Say he's able.
He's able.
Say it again, he's able.
He's able.
Let your neighbor hear you. He's able.
He's able.
Let your doubt hear you say he's able.
He's able.
Let your fear hear you say he's able.
He's able.
Stand on your feet with your seed in your hand. I want everybody, every house, every home, every dream, every vision, every thinker, every believer, every blessed person, every person who's standing on the impetus of a new horizon, everyone who's anticipating a better day, that God is going to use you in a special way. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand out. Be willing to be different. Be willing to be different. Thank you, Jesus. They just told me all the overflow spaces are full. Oh my God. The overflow. The anointing is flowing to the overflow.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.